Now that Iowans are enjoying the full effects of Iowa winter, this is the perfect time to think about exploring a museum. And what better museum to explore than the Falconer Gallery at Grinnell College in Grinnell? We're fortunate to have joining us in Iowa Public Radio's Cedar Falls studios the director, lecturer, and department head of Falconer Gallery, Dr. Leslie Wright. And thanks so much for joining us today, Leslie.
It's wonderful to be here.
Before we dive into these two new exhibitions that are coming to the Falconer Gallery, tell us just briefly about the Falconer Gallery on the Grinnell College campus in Grinnell.
Falconer Gallery opened in 1999, so we're approaching our 20th anniversary. But we built on an existing print and drawing study room that has been in our library since 1983, and that's where we store the majority of our collection. We collect works on paper. We do have a few other things in the collection. But in Falconer Gallery, we do an annual year-round changing schedule of changing exhibitions. And those can be international shows. Those can be nationally recognized artists, and they can be regional shows. Sometimes we build them out of our own collections. And in April every year, we feature work by our students.
And you also have a thing where students can actually work in the gallery and be part of that whole process.
Absolutely. We take 3 interns every semester. We do a project every 3 years with a class that curates an exhibition. And if other students are interested, we have them work in our print room. We have them work as volunteers in the schools. We will give students every opportunity they can have to get some museum experience while they're at Grinnell.
Leslie, you have 2 exhibitions that are on view, and you're reckoning with the incident. John Wilson's Studies for Lynching Mural is a traveling exhibition that runs now through April 7th at the Falconer Gallery. And tell us about this exhibition and also about John Wilson.
This is a really powerful exhibition that was organized by Yale University Art Gallery, but in partnership with us from the very beginning. There are 23 works in the show, and 14 of them belong to Grinnell College. We did an exhibition with John Wilson in 2004 when he was still alive. He was a professor at Boston University, and that was a retrospective of his work. And it was around that time that we acquired a black and white study for a mural he did in Mexico in 1952. And we also acquired 12 drawings that he did in preparation for that mural. In the 50s, a lot of African-American artists were going to Mexico to work with the Mexican mural artists, Orozco and others, because they wanted to learn the techniques of doing murals. And at the school, they would be given a wall, design a mural, work out the details, paint the mural, and the mural would be up for 6 months, a year, and then it would be painted over and the next set of students would come in and do a mural. So John's mural no longer exists. He had grown up on the East Coast hearing about lynchings throughout his young life because lynching was a horrendous but fact of life in the 20s, 30s, and 40s in this country. There were over 4,000 lynchings all told, and it was always reported on in the black press, so he would hear about it as a child. And he felt that he had reached a point in his life where he really had to reckon with it. What did this mean in his life? But as a black man in the early 50s in the U.S., he could not paint this topic. So he went to Mexico to reckon with it himself. All we have left are the studies. Yale has acquired a color study of the mural. We have the black and white full study, and then we have all these individual pieces that he was working out, the noose, the hands, the faces, the poses. And we're putting all of that together along with several prints that he did after the mural while he continued to struggle with the topic. And all those together give a picture of a man sorting through his life and his career and trying to bring all these elements together.
So how does it unfold, or how do you have it organized?
It's going to be in its own room that you have to take some time to think about it before you walk into it, and then there'll be an area to sort of process it all when you come out of it. None of the studies is huge, so nothing is going to sort of sock you in the face, but it's going to be a contemplative space to give people a space to think about the exhibition and look around themselves carefully and put it all together for them, each individual.
And you have, in conjunction with this, a whole bunch of other experiences that are related to this exhibit.
We were fortunate to know we were taking this show last spring, and at that point we reached out to staff, faculty, and students on campus and asked them how they might want to help us figure out ways for everybody to put this exhibition together in their own minds. It's not an easy topic. And lynching, we feel, is a very important topic to deal with today because systemic violence against people of color is still going on in this country. And we wanted to bring it up into the contemporary. So our students in particular have been fantastic. They have taken charge of the opening, which happened on January 25th. They're going to do a poetry slam later. They have been working with us on a digital storytelling project, and some of the digital stories that they have told are unbelievably powerful, and those will be available when you come out of the exhibition. You can watch the digital stories. And then we have a lot of faculty who have stepped up to say, yes, I will come in and do a brief talk, or I will be on a panel. And we have also been able to work with a lot of other people on campus who were bringing speakers already, and we realized those speakers had a lot to say about this exhibition. So they will give their talk in the gallery, or they'll visit the gallery, or we will co-sponsor their event.
Among these, you have this special lecture.
Yes, that's Angela Onwuachi-Willig. Angela is an alum of Grinnell College. She's on our board of trustees. And she lived in Grinnell until about a year ago when she got this fantastic opportunity to be the dean at the law school in Boston. And she did her PhD work on the systemic effects of trauma on African-American communities. So she, right away last spring when we talked to her, she said, oh yeah, I'll come back and give a talk. I'd be happy to do that.
And that's going to be on February 7th at 4 p.m.
Right.
Tell us about this other exhibit that is going to be at the Falconer Gallery.
The other exhibit is one that we had decided to do several years ago. It's curated by one of our alumna. Her name is Emily Stamey. She graduated in 2001, and she has her PhD and is now a very active curator. And she has created an exhibition she calls Dread and Delight, Fairy Tales in an Anxious World. It's an exhibition of work by contemporary artists who all have found fairy tales to be a powerful sort of metaphorical vehicle for talking about contemporary issues, traumas, storytelling strategies, and they come at it from a lot of different directions.
Just tell us briefly about some of these artists that will be part of this exhibition.
We were fortunate with Dread and Delight to be able to travel to North Carolina, where it originated, in October. So we were able to see everything that's going to be in the show. So it's great to be able to talk about it because I've seen it. The show really traces seven fairy tales all told, but two of them are very obscure and are only represented by a single artist. So the main ones are Rapunzel, Little Red Riding Hood, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, and Hansel and Gretel. So those all are represented by several artists doing work. One of the things we love about the show is a lot of the artists are of color. So there are lots of different kinds of people who mine fairy tales personally to deal with things like, how did families deal with hunger? And that's really part of the Hansel and Gretel story. Here you have a family that doesn't have enough to eat, so what are we going to do? We're going to take the kids into the woods and let them fend for themselves. There's stories that deal with families who are trying to protect their children, you know, locking them up in a tower, and how does that work or not work so well? And kids really do understand how this all plays out. When the Grimms were collecting these stories, these were stories that were out there, and they were going out themselves or sending people for them to research and aggregate all these stories that were being told in little towns in Germany. They were really for adults. They weren't for children way back in the 19th and 18th century. And they're not necessarily very happy, pretty stories. They're pretty grim stories, so to speak. So there's also incest, and there's rape, and there's a lot of sexuality that and violence that plays through these stories. And each of these artists is playing that out in their own way. In Greensboro, where the show originated, they started with the Rapunzel story. And you walk in and there's a wonderful piece that was done by a woman. She asked people to write their hopes and dreams on strips of red cloth. And then she braided that into a huge, long, long, long braid that is draped over and from the ceiling. So you're sort of enveloped by Rapunzel's hair and all those thoughts she probably had in that tower. And there's two African-American artists who have pieces that relate to Rapunzel. That whole notion of the long blonde hair and whether that's something you should have or should you aspire to that, and, or does it trap you in some way? So the metaphorical aspects. And then it goes right into Little Red Riding Hood. And there's an artist who's done a lot of photography of different children, boys and girls, in the red cape and how they are sticking to or getting off of the path that they're supposed to be on. Hansel and Gretel, there's a wonderful piece that is a sculpture of the two children in the cages when the witch was trying to fatten them up. And then there's a video by an African-American white artist of himself and another man. One of them is sort of stuffing the other one's face with food. And it turns out that that piece is the one that people find the hardest to watch. It's a video. But it's very compelling about how you try to make somebody plumper in order to make them more desirable in some peculiar kind of way. And then the centerpiece of the whole show, and this is the thing that people are going to remember about this exhibition, I'm sure, is a full-scale fairy tale carriage, as if it were Cinderella's carriage that comes from the pumpkin. And it's made on an armature, but the whole thing is covered in rock crystal sugar. So it kind of glitters and sparkles with sugar and gives a faint aroma of the sweetness to everything in the show.
So you imply that there were some things going on within these fairy tales. So tell us just some of the other themes that are kind of threaded through some of these works of art.
Some of the artists are trying to grapple with the element of fantasy and escapism that Disney has added into the fairy tales, and trying to see how they can put an edge back onto fairy tales, because that's what fairy tales originally had, was this delightful edge that helped people cope with life when it was too tough. It's a very tactile, it's a very physical show, because people in fairy tales are grappling with real life issues. There's struggling with what it means to be a good parent or not be a good parent. And mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? There's a wonderful Carrie Mae Weems piece where a black woman is looking at the mirror and the witch that appears to her in the mirror is saying, you can never be the fairest because you're black. And that whole deep message that we get from things like fairy tales about who's acceptable and who's not, and how do you find the strength to get past that? There's also a lot in fairy tales about outwitting somebody else. And that's another theme that comes through. That's certainly part of Hansel and Gretel. They outwit the witch. There are several others where sisters have to figure out how to rescue other sisters. It is a theme that weaves through many of these. Little Red Riding Hood in some of these figures out how to outwit that wolf. So that's another theme. I would say to families that are listening to this, a lot of families have come and seen this show and really enjoyed it. There is some content that is a little bit adult in nature, so you might want to send an adult in first and take a look. But I saw lots of families enjoying the show when I was in North Carolina.
So are there any other of these works that just really grabbed you?
There's some stunning pastels in this by an artist named Natalie Frank. And Natalie is a painter from New York who, after she went to graduate school, one of her teachers said, you know, you should think about taking a look at fairy tales, which she had never thought about before. For her, it was almost, as she said, a synesthetic experience. She would read a fairy tale and she could see the colors, she could see the marks, she could really get a visceral sense of these. And she started working in pastel, which she had not done before. And she has gone on to do an illustrated version of Grimm's fairy tales. And some of these images are from that. And she's developed a long-time relationship now with a man named Jack Zipes, who is a retired professor at University of Minnesota, who has done major translations of Grimm's fairy tales. And they've worked together a lot, informing one another's work. And Natalie isn't really so much illustrating as she is telling these stories through images. It just helps you understand how people used to sit around, tell these stories, and be able to envision them in their heads. And she's bringing that all to life. Her images are sort of dreamlike because lots of stuff is going on sort of simultaneously, and that's why they're really not illustrations so much as a visual telling of something. And for both, we have a lot of programming. We would love to have people come down and listen to one of the talks, enjoy the exhibition, and then also have a different kind of experience by having a chance to hear more of what's going on. We found that we had several faculty at Grinnell who are working in fairy tales themselves. One of our dance professors has a performance she does called Once Upon a Time Wolf, where she uses Little Red Riding Hood and gets at whole issue about gender and age and wildness and animals. And she does all that through dance. And then we have another professor, Alyssa Netting, who is a wonderful writer. She's been writing some of her own fairy tales, and they are published in an anthology called My Mother, She Killed Me, My Father, He Ate Me. I don't think all the stories in there are hers, but it's an anthology of many authors, and she's going to be doing some reading from her own fairy tales. We were struck in both cases of these shows that these are themes that are still prevalent and out there in our own cultures. Certainly we see fairy tales all the time through Disney, but I think also fairy tales as a way to grapple with darker ideas in our culture. And then the John Wilson is helping us to come to terms with some systemic issues that haven't gone away. We may think lynching is something from the past, but it's not. And how can we take that historical moment and bring it into the present and help us think about ways to move forward in a more positive direction?
How can folks get more info about these two exhibitions at the Faulkner Gallery at Grinnell College?
Probably the easiest way is to go to our website, which is grinnell.edu/Faulkner Gallery. And if you don't know Faulkner, it's F-A-U-L-C-O-N-E-R. We're named for a donor, not for the author.
Thanks for today's Iowa Art Showcase goes to Iowa Public Radio's Chris Fenton and Alexis Hahn. And thanks today also goes to director, lecturer, and department head of Faulkner Gallery, Dr. Leslie Ride. And thank you so much for joining us today, Leslie.
It was great to be here.